Welcome to another episode of E-Meet With Me, a weekly podcast where we get to interact with creatives who reveal through their stories how to navigate through life. On today's episode, we have Ibrahim Audu, a chemical engineering student, an entrepreneur, and the author of Unfinished. Ibrahim sheds light on his life's journey and inspires us to dare to think differently. And I firmly believe this is what we all need for 2021. So please do stay till the end and enjoy this experience. Welcome to another episode of E-Meet With Me. Hi, Ibi, how are you?
I'm all good. Thank you for having me today.
Yeah, thank you for obliging our request.
You're welcome.
So great to have you here.
Thank you.
All right, so we'll get right into it. Ibrahim, what would you describe yourself as?
Okay. That's a very broad question. In what aspect now?
Well, just anything that comes to your mind. What's the thing that readily comes to your mind?
Okay. I'm just going to do it like... how do they call it now? The speed cards or whatever. Weird dude. The first thing that came to my mind was weird dude. So weird.
Why would you think yourself weird?
Well, because what I'm doing right now is weird. So, you know, so it's like self-explanatory.
Okay. So are you introverted or extroverted?
I think I'm mentally extroverted, physically introverted, if there's anything like that.
Wow. So give me characteristics of that kind of behavior.
Okay. I can have crazy thoughts, I can plan out things and stuff like that, but I'm actually just at home.
So when you're in gatherings, how do you behave? When you're in the midst of people, how do you behave?
Okay. If I know the people, then I'm pretty normal. But if I'm in a place where I don't know the people there, I just tend to be in my shell, you know. I probably don't talk to anyone, stuff like that, till I leave. Basically.
Okay. Well, that's great, I think. It seems it's working for you. So, you are the founder of Periva Solar Systems, right?
Yeah, Periva Energy Systems, yes.
Okay. So tell us a bit about it. What does it mean? What does it do?
Okay, Periva Energy Systems, basically a renewable energy company. We started in 2017. Our first product was the solar water heater, but we didn't quite get to market. We pivoted to solar inverter systems. So that's what we do. Basically, we install solar inverter systems for homes, businesses, institutions, and we also do consultation services for like churches, farms, and all that. I hope I'm not speaking too fast.
No, it's fine. It's okay.
Okay.
All right, so in the Nigerian industry, how have they welcomed the idea? How inverters and all that? I know a lot of people are still accustomed to generators and things like that. How welcoming is the idea to them?
Oh, yes. I was actually just today working on the project to see how we can make solar inverter systems go mainstream in Nigeria. I think right now it's... because of the perception, it's seen as a luxury that only the elite, or should I say the well-to-do, can afford. But in reality, it's actually something that, if well adopted, can actually become mainstream. Like if you think of generators now, towards the late 2000s was when mainstream media
adopted.
Yes, mainstream media made it seem like having a generator is normal. It should be in every home. So I think we also need that bandwagon effect to make people understand that solar inverter systems are actually cheaper in the long run and they're better. They have so many benefits to the users and to the environment. Like we know environmental safety and preservation is paramount today. Yes.
Okay, that sounds interesting. Whenever you go approach someone to just pitch your idea, how the average response, what's the average response you get?
I would say 99% of the time, people are always price conscious. That's the first thing that comes to mind. Yes.
Okay, so they always ask questions, what would this cost me? Can I sustain this and all that? So do you get a lot of rejections?
Well, for such a product, I'd say rejection is the order of the day when you're the one pitching. Most times deals go through when the prospect is already convinced about renewable energy systems and just wants to go with the system, right? But most times trying to convince people who are not yet believers is very difficult because of the price tag that they usually come with. Even when you try to break down the analysis and let them know that, okay, in the long run it's going to be cheaper for you and this and that, most times they're always like, yeah, still skeptical, you know. So I'd say when the client is already convinced of the theory of it, it becomes much easier to pitch the idea. Yes.
Okay, that's cool. So I believe you're still in school, Ahmad Bello University, right?
Yes, sadly, I'm still a student, you know.
Why is that sad?
I dropped out in my third year, but I'm waiting to graduate, you know. Yes.
Wow. Thank God you didn't drop out. Or you actually did and you came back in.
Yeah, in my mind.
Oh my God. Okay. All right. So why did you want to drop out of school?
I wasn't seeing the practicality of school. Like, I'd already seen that, school or not, there's some sacrifices I'll still have to make as a person. Seeing that I'm going into business, there are sacrifices that I'd have to make that have nothing at all to do with the knowledge I'd be gaining from academics, right? But I was convinced to continue because of the Nigerian space. Having that paper, that certificate, always matters at the end of the day in this part of the world.
True. So what are you studying?
Chemical engineering.
Okay, that's amazing. So how do you combine academics with your work? Because it looks like you're fully vested in your Periver solar systems thing. So how do you manage the both of them?
I would like to draw from when I quit school in my head. So it was during that period when I realized, okay, at the end of the day, I'm going to have to be in school for 3 more years. So I just have to find a way to balance it. So what I did was I created a hierarchy such that since I had rationalized that school was finite, that there'll be an end date for school, but I'll be able to continue business long after that. So I decided, okay, if I'm going to be in school, then I'm going to do it well, right? So I know, okay, it was time well spent. So I created a hierarchy: school, business, and other activities. Yes. So when I'm done with I perform satisfactorily in academic activities, then I move on to handle business affairs, and then when I'm done with that, I can now do other things like social hangouts and stuff like that. So that was the hierarchy.
Okay. Well, that was quite wise. And yes. Has that been working for you?
Well, I would say yes, because I think beyond just balancing school, business, and other activities, I literally created like a principle of how I live, such that I organize things chronologically, like how they arrive. So I don't jump to the next task until I'm done with one, no matter how boring it is and no matter how exciting the next task is. So it always helps me to meet up with all my responsibilities, not just to meet up with those that are interesting to me, right? So I'd say yes, it has worked because I've been able to do it in such a way that, okay, when academic demands come up and then something comes up in business, I know, okay, I have to clear up this academic demand first before I'm able to move on to the next thing. Right, so it has really helped me to prevent hanging projects, because the major source of frustration most times is when you have pending projects that you've not handled. So I always make sure that I handle projects chronologically as they arrive, not as I feel like doing them. Yeah, so I think it has helped me a lot.
That's interesting. And I understand that you're in the middle of your book production, publishing, and all that. So, can you tell us a bit about your book?
Okay, the book Unfinished, Why You Abandon Meaningful Projects and What to Do About It. It really originated as a fallout of some of these things I've already talked about, how I was having a lot of hanging projects, right? So it made me I don't want to mince words here, so I was in a bad place, but I knew it was my fault because I simply didn't have a system to manage these activities. But at the same time, I knew that the reason for not having a system wasn't because I couldn't just develop a spelled out plan now. So having a spelled out plan is very different from internalizing the plan. Yeah, so it becomes your personality. Yeah, so I think Unfinished was more like an exploratory journey into the psychological and phenomenological patterns that lead to having projects unfinished, and the kinds of things that you'd have to do to get yourself in a place where you're able to consistently finish projects. And the interesting thing is, it's not exactly like procrastination. Procrastination has to do with deadlines, right? Yeah. While finishing has to do with abandoning tasks completely. Mm. So what Unfinishing tries to address is the tenacity to see a task through to the end, even if you defer on the deadlines, but you just have that focus to say, okay, I started this thing, I'm going to finish it regardless.
Wow, that's quite interesting. I think your book is going to cause quite a revolution in our time, especially now, right? And amongst youths, right? It's so easy. You see rampant cases of dropping out of school, people leaving marriages, people leaving kids, so many things like that. And I think we need that so much in this time and day. Thank you for availing yourself to bless us with your wisdom.
All right, okay. thank you so much.
Okay, so we had your brother coming in one of our podcast episodes, and I was just thinking, right, has ever occurred to you, has anybody ever told you that you live in your brother's shadow? Because your brother is somebody who is quite intellectually, talks with him is quite intellectually stimulating, and he's also a very wise person. So have you ever heard or have you ever been told that you live in his shadows? Have you tried to meet up with him? Has he set a pace so high up there that you're trying to meet up? How do you relate with him as regards his achievements and yours? How does that work?
Okay, first off, let me just lay the foundation. We went to the same secondary school.
Okay.
And the same university. So I think for the last 10 years of my life, I've become accustomed to Mike being called Mike's brother. Because from JS1 up till now, 500 level, we've shared communities, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so for me, I think I don't know how to put it now, but okay, on a personal level, I don't think I've ever sat down to think of it as competition, right? Mm. Although I see that projection sometimes.
Mm.
Because, I've had situations where, even when whilst I was in secondary school, because I think I'm more extroverted than he is. So, there was one time, it's just like, you're smart. Mike is smart too, but you're also smart, but your playfulness is getting in the way or blah, blah, blah. And I was like, okay, look, like, I'm not trying, like, you know, when you're not even thinking in that direction, like, I'm not trying to be, you get?
Yeah.
So it's like, there's no basis really to bring up such conversations because, although I think we have similar interests, but the way we look at those interests are very different.
Mm.
He's more of like a systems guy, someone who wants to put structure. I think I'm more of the kind of person who wants to get hands dirty and be like in the field sort of kind of person.
Mm.
So I think we love the same things, but we have a different
approach.
Yes. Mm. So I think based on that, there's no basis to say
of
or
comparison.
Compare.
There's no.
Yeah. Yes. Apples and oranges.
That's quite interesting. I think it comes from a place of self-awareness. You know yourself, you know how you are, you know how you approach things, and you're like, this is me, that's Mike, and it's good. Yes, you don't struggle with stuff, which is really very impressive. So about your family and all that, do you also have that same approach towards life, knowing that all of you have different perspectives and different approaches to life, right? How was growing up like? Do you have siblings you want to be like? Do you have siblings you were compared to and all that? How was it like?
In my family, I'd say, I have three siblings, that's Mike and two other siblings. But I think in my own opinion, we have two generations.
Mm.
Right, because my older siblings are like way older.
Oh, okay.
Yes. So it's like my eldest brother and my elder sister on one side, and then me and Mike on the other side. Mm. Because how we grew up, Mike and I grew up with the computer system at home.
Mm.
So our perspective on life is that we grew up with tech.
Yeah.
While they grew up with bicycle, the school play and stuff like that. So our perspectives are somewhat different. Like I relate better with Mike because we have a similar perspective, or should I say similar outlook on how life should be, right? Mm-hmm. As opposed to my older siblings because they had a totally different childhood.
Mm, okay. So, that explains it.
Yeah.
Mm. Okay, now let's talk about your perception, right? I think I've told you before that you have a unique perspective and perception to things, right? So, was it intentionally...
Oh, okay.
Was that intentionally done? Like, did you just say, okay, I want to be different, I want to think differently, everybody's doing things this way, I want to look at it this way, or is it just something that is just a part of you, right? I want to know, is it something that can be intentionally inculcated, or it just happens to you naturally?
Well, for me, I think it all originated from me trying to have my own understanding of what life is all about.
Mm, okay.
Because at the point in time, I had like a lot of questions, so I had to start reading about, I had to sort of quarantine all the knowledge I had of how things were supposed to be, and then I started consulting materials, books, and intellectuals of our time, right, to try to build frameworks that are sustainable and would work to ensure that I maximize my human experience. So I've done stuff like, there was even a time I did, I read Cal Newport's work and stuff like, I think one thing I do is I simply pick out intellectuals and I go through literally almost all their work. Like when I pick someone, like there was a time I went through Cal Newport, read all his works, watched his videos. I went with Jordan Peterson, read Maps of Meaning, 12 Rules of Life, watched his videos. So I think when I pick up someone, I try to deconstruct their ideology and then pick out the things that I can adopt to my own situation, because I really believe that the perspective, how do you put it, the word to describe your own situation? Everybody's situation is different in as much as there is information that has been developed. You have to examine the situation to see how does this fit into my own life.
Okay.
So I think from the conversation we had, it was on the premise that it's very difficult to develop this foundational mindset of how to explore information, thinking about how to think. I think that was what we're talking about.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. And okay.
So now your question is, if
it was intentional,
about how can be taught.
Yes, if it was intentionally done, like you inculcated that mindset yourself, you're looking out for being different, you want to be unique in your thinking patterns.
Okay, I don't think I wanted to be unique, I just wanted to be awake.
Oh, wow, okay.
Yes, because there's a whole lot of the challenges we're facing today in the world, I believe, are because of the bandwagon effect. When someone who has some sway says something, no one even tries to understand the issue from first principles. They just take the word of someone.
Yes, and makes it law.
Be an expert.
True.
So, like when we're having issues with widespread issues, or are still having, but it was really hot then, about the rape issue and gender inequality and stuff like that, a whole lot of people were just coming up with baseless theories that didn't even have any scientific backing and stuff like that, you know, because most of these topics are so sensitive that you have to actually take out time to study the papers to see, okay, what research has been done, what perspectives exist, what are the foundational human beliefs that if tampered with will ruin the social structure. Like on the issue of feminism and stuff like that, I know it's a very sensitive area, but I think I'll just like to say, like, I think one of the backlashes of the feminism movement, or I don't want to call it feminism, but feminism as it is being portrayed now, right, has to do with at least as that when it was hot, I think that was like early this year, people were talking about raising your sons the way you raise your daughters and feminizing the male gender, right? And the funny thing about that is that research has actually shown that when men feel threatened, right, when the authority or the ego now of a man feels threatened, it actually heightens the tendency to want to do things like rape, because they want to prove themselves. So we have to be very careful in the way we proffer solutions off the bat. Like, let's raise your children, your sons. Like, it's like, no, guys are generally, genetically speaking now, guys have the tendency to want to prove themselves. It's just there, right? So it should be more of like saying, okay, can we create avenues where the guys can prove themselves? Maybe sports or whatever, but not like saying raise them like girls. If you raise a guy like a girl, at a point in time, it will backfire, because he's not a girl at the end of the day.
True.
So yeah. I think, like, okay, this is just like one of the things now.
Let me just say something about what you just said. I think it's not, when they say raise a guy like a girl, it might not be in the same perspective or the same, it might not be as literal as it comes. They just mean, this is what I think they mean, I might be wrong, but I think they mean pay as much attention as you do to your male children the way you do to your female children. Because when a girl is growing up, like, there are so many things they tell the girl, don't do this because you're a girl, don't do that because you're a girl. And they instill that mindset in her because they want her. There's this thing, you are, somebody's going to approve you at the end of the day. You are going through a phase, you are going somewhere. So they try to inculcate that value in the girl, in the girl child, right? So people are just trying to say, as the way, same way you intentionally train a girl child, just like she's going through an exam eventually, that same thing to your male child. Like, tell him, okay, embrace your masculinity. This is what you should do. This is how not to abuse your masculinity. This is the extreme. So I think that's where, I know there are a lot of different opinions about this and all that, but this is what I think some of them are trying to communicate. But like you said, once we don't understand the foundation, the basis for most of these things, it's a very high tendency that they get abused, and we take them out of context and do as we perceive they should be done, which is very, very important. We need to get back to the basics. So you're mentioning very, very strange names, because personally I don't think I've heard some of those names, the books you were studying and everything like that. Now, do you think you were particularly interested in those kinds of books because you are wired that way? Like, your interest naturally tended towards that, so that's why you love those kinds of books? Or do you think it's something everybody should be aware of, right? Because I was asking as regards your mindset and your how you think, how you built yourself, how you trained yourself to think, right? And you're like, okay, you were just studying materials and this was how they rubbed off on you. So do you think you were just, you were studying those materials because they bore, there were similarities, there were things that attracted you to them because of the kind of person you are? Or you think these materials is anybody, just anyone can take them up and study? Because I personally have not studied half of the things you studied in the way you studied them, right? So what do you think about that?
Okay. So let me just respond to the previous topic to close it, and then I'll move on to this. You know, the short conversation we had is actually a representation of how such issues should be handled in conversation, such that the perspectives that everyone is coming from is very clear and the actual method is passed. Because most of these things that they say, train your daughters or train your sons, is in 140 character tweets.
Yes.
So there's absolutely no context.
Yeah.
So I think most of them should be handled as, most of these sensitive issues should be handled accordingly, not as passing issues. Okay. So then moving on to the next. I think for me personally, I think I've always had an issue with just following the crowd. I think it has been what, because most of, as you said, some of the books are not really common, right? And it's not as if they're not common. They're sort of common, but they're not mainstream.
Yeah.
So I think that's the more accurate way to put it. So, and they're not mainstream for a reason. Because most of these guys are part of, I don't know if you've heard about the IDW, Intellectual Dark Web.
No, I haven't.
Okay, these are people that challenge the status quo of most of these postmodernist activists who just come out and say maybe gay rights or this rights or children should be allowed to walk naked if they like, you know, just come up with weird theories and just lord it over people, because most times they don't allow people to choose. They just create movements, right? They just start up movements and stuff like that. So like, if we take on most of Cal Newport's work now, he mostly focuses on killing distractions. I think that's one of his strong areas. Things like social media and stuff like that, he's strongly anti-social media. So most of these guys are people who challenge the bandwagon effect. So I think that was what attracted me to them, because they were trying to say, no, they are like town criers saying, guys, something is wrong, we need to slow down and check what we are doing.
Okay.
So I think most of the works I've read are they have that underlying relationship. Yeah. I mean, if you talk about books like Essentialism, there are a number of them like that. So they all have that central theme of saying, hold on, are we looking at this thing right? Is this how we should look at it? Can we go back to first principle and see how it has developed to what we have today? So I think it has been just that curiosity. It still boils down to the curiosity I talked about, of wanting to know why we are where we are, why we do what we do, right? So I think those are the things that attracted me to most of those materials, the curiosity I already had to want to know why we do what we do. So, and not most of the mainstream guys don't tell you why we do what we do, they just tell you should do this. So I think, does that answer the question? Or
yes, I think it does. I think in a way it does, because I'm finding out that you didn't intentionally want to train yourself to think in a particular way. We're drawn to it, and the same way you're drawn to it is the same way many other people are not drawn to it, right? Because I'd have said it would be a good thing for all of us to want to be philosophers like you. I was almost wanted to ask you if you fancied philosophy, because we're almost sounding like a philosopher already. But that's, by the way, so many people would not do that because of many reasons. Number one, they have esteem issues. They don't believe they have a voice to stand for themselves. They don't want to be different, because being different means...
Oh, it's tough. Yes. I'll tell you that, because I think you're my personal friend. You know, I left WhatsApp at a point.
Yes.
Right? It was during the heat of that period when I couldn't stand it. Seeing most of those shallow posts, and people were just empathetic posting what I consider to be nonsense.
Yeah.
And there was a particular time I made a counter post to try to say, guys, can we actually stop and look at this? And everyone just lashed out on me, and they were like, you should be sympathetic. Someone just got raped, blah, blah, blah. I was like, okay, yes, I understand that it's a difficult situation, but handling it based on emotions and not going to the root of the matter
We will
tweet about it for 2 weeks and then it will happen again, because we will not come up with solutions.
Now we're back to normal.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay, so, but most people, I always have that pressure. I find it hard most times to express my opinions, because most of my opinions are not what people want to hear.
Yes, true.
So it's very hard, actually. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. So your mindset, your framework is quite different. And then there are so many reasons why people would not naturally tend to it, because it is going to shine spotlight on them. There'll be a lot of criticism, there'll be a lot of misunderstandings, like you just portrayed, like you just said now, right? So I would not say, I don't know if it's inherent in every man to be different, to bring out his uniqueness. I know we talk about purpose and say everybody's unique, everybody should search for intrinsic value and all that and everything like that, but the truth of the matter is not everybody would actually do that, and that's what makes these little things people stand out with. That's what makes it seem like a whole big deal, because not everybody is really interested. Not everybody would be willing to go the extra mile to stand up for what they believe in, their convictions and all that. So in doing that, that has made you in a way stand out in that, in your own right. So you're still uniquely different, and I think even though you didn't intentionally try to train yourself that way, you just followed your heart and followed what you're yearning towards and decided to build yourself in that, which is very, very cool. But I wish we were more like you, and I hope to also be more like you.
All right, thank you.
Do you think that it's possible to be objective in your opinions and your perceptions? Like, is it possible to, let me not use the word entirely logical, but is it possible to speak truth and be very objective in your delivery? Because the truth of the matter is, we're emotional beings. No matter how much we try to think rationally, right? Some of the strongest decisions we make are based on our emotions. So is it possible to be entirely objective?
I'd say, okay, being objective now is, it's impossible to be 100% objective, but you can be highly objective, but it's a very difficult way to live.
Mm.
Okay, I'm just going to use one example. Like when I was writing Unfinished, right?
Yeah.
I knew that some of the topics I was going to handle were going to shine light on the dark areas and be like, this is what you're doing wrong.
Mm.
And I'd have to bear the brunt of full awareness of the wrong I was doing. Mm. So I think that's one of the reasons that I think having to bear the burden of a situation is one of the reasons why objectivity is very hard.
Yeah. Mm.
It's like handling, talking about time now. When you're trying to work on maybe a project, when you're in trouble, maybe maybe the deadline is getting close or something like that, your mind would subjectify time, if there's any word like that. Try to view time as something subjective, like I can do this, when in reality it's absolutely impossible.
Yes,
right.
True.
So we try to use most times, I but this is just a statement now, that I don't think there's any, I'm not trying to say it as a fact, but I'd say most times subjectivity comes from a place of trying to mask the consequences we have to face if we're going to be objective.
Okay.
Most times. Like if you're talking about maybe like interpersonal relationships now, maybe you have a friend who is doing something wrong. In an objective way, you can come to that situation and tell the person in a nice way. You don't have to be harsh about it, but it will still cause harm, right?
Yeah.
So we try to mask the situation and downplay the evilness of what the person has done.
Yes.
So being an objective person will cost you. But the amazing thing is being objective within reasonable limits is actually one of the best ways to live. It's one of the things I learned from Jordan Peterson's Maps of Meaning. Like when you speak truth, things being subjective, so to speak, is like lying to mask something. But the funny thing is, when it builds up over time, you have to keep lying to keep covering that thing.
Yeah, true.
And then taking the example of a friendship now, if you guys have been friends for 2 years and you've been downplaying the person's bad sides, and then it gets to a point where you simply cannot handle it, and then you voice your opinion, the person will now be like, okay, so you've been seeing this thing for 2 years and you didn't say anything.
Yes.
And then you close up and then there's
and
a
the
dragon.
Aim is defeated, yes.
It was a mouse and you could have killed it on the second day and said, I don't like what you're doing. It would have hurt for 2 weeks, but you guys would have been better off 2 years later.
Yes, true.
So it's just about saying, okay, do I really want to be, if you're going to be an objective person, you have to be an objective person. Okay, well, there's no right and wrong, or like saying objective or non-objective, right? It's like a continuum. It's not broken into individual objects, like objectives. So it's like a continuum. So but the more objective you can be, the more you can handle the truth of situations, the better off you'll be at the end of the day.
Wow. This is quite a learning process for me too, and I appreciate this so much. Now the behind the scene effect of some of the actions I've been taking, and I'm seeing, okay, this is what caused it and this is what happened. Wow. thank you for this enlightening session.
thank you for the opportunity.
Okay, so do you have any last words, anything you want to say just to wrap up this session?
Well, I feel good having to having the opportunity to share some of my opinions on some of these things, like, yeah. So basically,
there was a struggle getting here. I'm glad you came.
Right. I think it's also part of what I just talked about, having to struggle with voicing my opinions. Because it really, okay, most times when I'm trying to voice my opinion, it's almost like I literally, okay, in my mind, I have a mental picture of me taking off all my clothes and walking on the street. It's like, no, do I really want to do this?
Yeah, I get that. Well, it's cool. I think this is a step in the right direction. With time, I hope, become more comfortable, because there's so many people like you, and probably like me too, and then they just need someone to take the first step, so they get more comfortable in their own skin and be able to voice out their own opinions, right? Because like you said, this is all over mainstream, so the truth now becomes the abnormal, right?
Yeah, so, the truth has been vilified.
Yeah, so we need people to keep saying these things. Thank you so much. And if there's anybody wants to contact you, what is the best medium? How do they reach you? Anybody wants to ask questions, want to get to know you better and things like that?
Okay, my Instagram handle, the_Ibrahim, I'll do no space.
Okay.
the_Ibrahim, I'll do no space. And then Facebook, Ibrahim, I'll do, and then my email address, ibrahim.audu.96@gmail.com. So feel free to reach out if you have more questions or just want to have a back and forth.
All right. Thank you so much, Ibrahim. Thank you so, so much for being here. Thank you for sharing. Thank you for enlightening us. And I look forward to having you again.
Probably. Oh, thank you so much for having me. Thank you so much.
All right.
Yeah.
Thank you for joining in today's conversation. We believe you enjoyed it. Don't forget to share and favorite this podcast. Never forget, we are committed to your success. Cheers.